am sad to report that that is the only new intro submitted this week.
That is the opposite of what we were hoping for with an intro. Just to let everybody know, this is the minimalist version of the Flash Fried intro.
That was ass.
I mean, that was worse than ass. There would have been an ass that said Flash on one cheek, on the other cheek.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just want to say, TJ, you're no fucking Daniel Lambert. What have you done for this fucking world?
Yeah, dude? What have you done for this world, TJ?
I don't know.
What have you fucking done?
I don't. What have I done?
Why don't you fucking be honest about what you want to do with your life, TJ?
Sorry, guys. Give me 1 second.
Oh, what's that?
I'm hearing some complaints from my coattails.
Oh, what's that? What's
oh.
that?
Oh, I see what he did there.
I got you, TJ. I got you, man. I fucking made you, TJ. And I can fucking break you, bitch.
Well, maybe you can.
You know what?
You ain't going to do
no,
it today,
no, no,
so.
Imagine this life, TJ.
Imagine it.
No, imagine this life. Okay. Let me lay out for you.
Right.
Imagine you get to be fucking fat and people get to pay to see you. And tell me that's not your ideal life right now. Look at me out fucking the eye and tell me.
I mean, how is that? Wait a minute. Ideal life? How is that not his life?
Yeah, I was wondering how that's already not my life.
No, no. People paid admission. They came to. They called on upon yeah. Mr. Lambert, yeah. And they would say, "I want to see the large gentleman."
I mean, what is the Patreon if not admission to see the freak show? That is.
Well, yeah, that'd be, oh, if it was only to converse with you, TJ, and see your and be shirtless.
Behold my corpulence. You know, whatever.
That intro was so disappointing.
That, it really was.
I mean,
dude,
what,
I was
can
like,
we
almost,
start this show again and just play an old one so that I don't start with the sourness in my mouth
no,
of that intro?
No, I want Paul. People to let that turd hang in the air so it inspires people to create us better intros.
That was terrible.
For I mean, like, how many people watching this? It's like we get like 30,000 or 40,000 views.
Yeah, it was not representative of all.
On Flash Fried, and that's the fucking, and one only one person cranks out a fucking intro, and it's that?
Oof.
Boo.
Boo.
Boo, man. That fucking sucked. We need some titties. We need some lasers.
So,
some volcanoes.
So,
I don't know.
So,
yeah, what's up, Scotty?
What's up? What's up is on July 21st, 2018. Deep Fat Fried will be live in Los Angeles at TJ.
At TJ?
At TJ's
TJ as
giant
a
fucking ass crack.
No,
that's right.
That's your cue, TJ. Where is this meetup going to be held? Where's this
I don't
show want to
announce the exact location until tickets are on sale.
Oh come
Why
on,
not?
TJ.
Because I don't. What's the point? There's no point yet.
What's the
it's
point
confirmed.
Of holding it. It's confirmed.
It's 100% going to happen.
I'll tell them the location when tickets are on sale.
Oh well, TJ's being a fucking
oh
Debbie Downer,
man.
Dude.
When tickets are on sale,
well,
then
you.
They can know.
The Mint in Los Angeles. Fuck
yep,
you.
Yep, the Mint Bar and Grill.
Oh,
in
the
Los
legendary
Angeles.
Mint.
The Mint. Dude.
Whoa! From all
well,
those stories you've heard.
The Mint, dude.
People can go look. Oh, shut up, TJ. Why are you? What are you,
what?
A naysayer now?
I'm not a naysayer. I wanted to hold back the info until they could go buy their damn
we've
tickets.
We've done enough holding
people,
back of the info.
People
we've been
can
teasing
go
these
out.
Fucking
Give
people
Give them a little
for
nugget
a
at a time. A little nugget at a time.
No,
TJ.
No.
You know what?
Fuck
I'm not
you,
even
dude.
Doing the meetup anymore. Fuck this. You guys
right.
just ruined
so
the suspense. You ruined
this.
The fucking build up to the meetup. Now the meetup's going to be.
No, you outvoted me and Paul fucking wanted to announce
right
it.
Right there. Yeah. Brett Favre.
Me and Paul wanted to announce
it. You got
outvoted. You got outvoted, dude. Democracy.
Outvoted.
It's not like you yourself just said, oh, the Mint, the famous Mint. Like you wanted to hold that back like it was a big reveal. Just tell them where it's at.
No.
Tickets on
hey,
sale
hey.
Shortly.
Yep.
We have been officially confirmed by the venue.
And patrons. You're going to get first crack at the tickets because Woo! There are a limited number of spots available. I believe the number of tickets we can sell is 275.
Yep.
275 tickets will be on sale. Patrons will get first crack. You guys will get, maybe a day, maybe 2 days to get your tickets.
Get on the pre-sale, dude.
Before the plebs do.
I know it's kind of weird to say it's a pre-sale because we're still selling them, but it's the pre-sale,
yep.
dude. You guys get first
no,
crack
they just
at
get,
it.
Yeah, they get first dibs. They get like the, how rich people get invited to these events for the unveiling of new cars and shit?
Oh,
they
yeah.
get a little swag bag. Yeah. You guys get a little swag bag.
Bag
you
of swag.
You get early entry.
Another announcement before we begin. We will not be doing a show Friday. We'll be doing a Saturday. Friday's show has been pushed back 1 day to Saturday. So tune in then, 8:30 or so, thereabouts.
Yeah, that's for the patrons. We'll put some up
that's
on
a patron
Patreon
show. But, you know.
The Patreon.
But just so you patrons aren't like sitting there on Patreon on Friday, like, where the fuck is the show? show.
And we're going to make
it's coming Saturday.
We'll post it in Patreon today, too, so everyone has advance notice.
Everybody will know what's coming.
Advanced notice.
Advanced fucking notice. But
all right. So enough fucking blathering.
Enough chit-chat. Flapping
it's time
gums.
To fucking look at some fucking news.
It's time to get flashed.
I thought you said
right.
enough blathering idiots and bullshit.
Well, let's just get up and go, dude.
It's time to
well,
look at the
enough
news.
Of these particular three blathering idiots
right,
and bullshit. And
go.
Time for some other idiots and their blathering bullshit.
Got it.
Like, hey, it's like president idiot. You know, why not? Trump says he might take away credentials from TV reporters because 91% of their network news about me is negative / fake.
Thank
or
you.
Fake.
Thank you, Donald Trump.
Somebody had to say it, man.
Abolish the
in
First
latest
Amendment.
Attack on free press.
Abolish the fucking First Amendment, dude. Trump's finally attacking the amendment that we really need to go after here.
Now, I you know what, dude? I got to be honest with you about this, guys. I don't think that he should take away 91% of their credentials, but I do think that there's some people operating on a news credential that need to have that shit fucking removed.
Yeah,
that's
one of those BuzzFeeds, dude. Can we just get rid of BuzzFeed?
Some of this shit ain't news. We need to stop treating it like it's news. So I'm fine with that.
You know, Insecure, like, I always read shit from these BuzzFeed type organizations. And I'm not saying, like, every blog type site that covers news is bullshit, but BuzzFeed, it's like, they always defend it. Like, no, we're real news. The White House needs to give us press credentials. Like, no, BuzzFeed is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a clickbait joke. Sorry.
I mean, BuzzFeed's political arm has broken some stories and shit, but, like, they're still connected to BuzzFeed, so fuck them.
Yeah, if they were to spin off and have a separate thing that's it's in the same network, maybe that could work. But BuzzFeed itself is bullshit.
This is a tweet. The fake news is working overtime. Just reported that, despite the tremendous success we are having with the economy and all things else... All things else. Interesting way to word that. 91% of the network news about me is negative. Fake.
The other word is
yeah,
fake.
That's because that's fake and negative. Those are synonyms. Why do we work so hard in working with the media when it is corrupt? Take away credentials?
Okay.
Except for Fox.
All right, Trump.
Whoa, dude. I'm frozen in time there.
Oh, my God. Are you guys really fucking frozen right
now? I'm just taking the longest, bubblicious grape vape hit.
No! No!
It's fine, dude. This is a new Flash Fried.
I mean, shit. Shit happens, TJ. They don't need to see us anyway. Just put the news stories up and let's fucking talk about them.
All right.
Yep, there you go.
Well, they
fuck
need
it.
To see our stupid fucking faces anyway. There we go.
I'm bashful in front of the camera, so this technical
you,
issue
faggot.
Is actually a good thing. Because now no one can see
I'm
me.
I'm bashful in front of the camera. I'm just tired of looking at my fucking ugly mug.
Where down on the debate,
people
TJ?
People want to see the beauty
TJ,
of Paul.
Well, TJ, wherever you come down on it, it's not working, so who gives a shit? Let's just keep going.
All right, whatever. Fuck you. White House. Yeah, well, that's pretty much the story.
Well, they're just saying take away the press credentials for people that go to the White House, right?
I guess.
I mean, who knows? What is the context of take away credentials? Yeah, I don't know. Whose credentials? Which one?
I don't know.
Like,
yeah.
You know?
Maybe we read the article. Is the article...
I mean, they're doing the same thing we're doing, and they're just responding to this fucking tweet. They don't know anything else other than this.
Nobody knows. He doesn't even know what he was writing. Listen to that last fucking sentence. Why do we work so hard in working with the media? Like, he didn't even think about this. He just... got up this morning, was pissed off that the news was covering negative shit about him, and wrote this.
Dude. This just in, Trump's a stupid faggot. Fake news, take away credentials.
The reason why some people really respect Trump, and clearly some people really hate Trump, is because there's a contingent of people that, like, you know what, Trump is finally standing up to this fake fucking bullshit liberal media that I hate. And the other side is going, holy shit, is Trump just going to fucking shut down the press? Are we really just going to fucking go slide even further down?
Well, that's the problem. Because nobody, not even the president, but certainly not the citizenry that elected him, can interpret what the fuck he means. Usually when a president speaks publicly, it's down to the gnat's ass. It's concise, it's clear, it conveys whatever message, it's easy to understand. President Trump doesn't abide by those rules.
Not even close. That's because as the president, you know, anything the president of our country says is going to be...
vague threats.
Is going to be fucking covered.
Vague fucking ideas about policy change all the time, and we're all left jumping from one foot to the next trying to interpret what this fucking septuagenarian means by take away credentials.
Wouldn't it be just great if Trump was revealed as performance art on the American people, dude. Just the largest piece of performance art ever. Look at him. Look at this shit, dude. Look at Trump. He's a fucking buffoon.
Yeah, he is.
He's a total joke.
There's George Washington, and there's fucking Donald Trump.
Hold on, wait a minute.
You know what's great? Go back to that image. This shows you how far our fucking country has fallen.
Yeah.
This
the
really
evolution
fucking
of America.
George Washington. Look at George Washington just looking at him.
Soft-spoken, stoic fucking leader that helped fucking form the very country we live in. And this is what we've become, a fucking orange, overly tan fucking buffoon. Congratulations, America. Yep. You fucking lost your fucking mind.
A weirdo in fucking 6 inches of pancake makeup with raccoon eyes from his bad tan and a dead cat on his head.
He is thick, though.
Great, America. Actually, you know what? Maybe it's not much different.
Because, yeah,
George Washington had,
had
a big old wig and wooden teeth and shit. So maybe we're just going
back
to our
roots. He lived fucking
in
the 18th century.
Washington was a little bit more impressive. We've already made the fucking comparison. I mean, you know,
that image was just perfect. It was just showing you how fucking far this country is. Fucking fallen, dude.
Think about this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 fucking more. Look at all these paragraphs. All in response to some tweets.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Trump just tweets something and then it's someone fucking writes an essay on the fucking shit.
Well, you know, and normally that would be something to be proud of. Like, Kanye can do that. And that's like master troll status. But Trump's just the president. Like, everything he says goes national the instant he says it. So we can't even give him credit for keeping people captivated. Because it's like, we're supposed to be captivated by
our remember,
leader.
One of the reasons he became president in the first place, because he had such a popular fucking Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a big Twitter before.
Doesn't Obama have more Twitter followers than Trump has ever had, though?
I think so, but...
I mean, so even being president and even being his tweets are covered internationally because this is Daily Mail. This is a UK site.
Oh, a lot of people don't want to fucking actually follow that shit.
Well, I mean, why would you want to follow Donald Trump? Except for entertainment purposes.
I follow him, too.
I love reading the Donald shit, dude. I love going to the Donald and hearing the bullshit because, I mean, I love hearing the spin from both sides. It's fun. And now the conservative point of view is really the popular one, so it's kind of, you get more.
You
want
to hear another popular conservative point of view? Let's listen to this.
Headphones on.
Get your hands.
Oh, it's our old friend, dude.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
This is Brian fucking Fisher, man. He's
going to have some brilliant shit here.
He's going to say something real smart.
Finish up on our conversation about whether Wiccans, that is, worshippers of the devil, followers of witchcraft, whether they have First Amendment rights under our Constitution. And the answer is that they do not. The blunt, simple, direct, straightforward answer is that Wiccans
dude,
do not.
Fuck your goddamn cat, dude.
What? Did he chew your fucking headphones, too?
Yeah, thanks, TJ.
What are you fucking thanking me for?
Because this is a studio, and now your cat ruined my shit, so now you owe me some fucking money.
I don't owe you. What? I have to pay you because the cat destroyed something?
Yes,
take
you
it
do.
Up with the cat, man.
I can't fucking hear anything because your cat destroyed it.
Take it up with the cat, dude.
It up with the fucking cat.
Squeaks. Yes. Squeaks is the unofficial mascot of the show, dude.
He's
the
Squeaks fucking, is a piece of shit.
He's the little coal that's burning in the background, keeping us all pissed off at each other, dude.
He destroyed my fucking...
Hold up. Let me get some spare fucking headphones.
All right.
Destroy more of my fucking shit.
Why am I... I didn't destroy it. I didn't go there chewing...
Cat, DJ.
Everyone in this house.
I hold you responsible.
Of course you do.
Is this the only video we have...
Yes.
Let's just skip this fucking video. We'll move on to the next goddamn
I'm not
story.
Skipping the video.
I can't fucking hear it.
Just summarize it.
All right, well...
He says that Wiccans don't
You know what?
Have
there's
first...
a fucking... There's a goddamn article version in
there
here
we go.
Somewhere. I mean, I gotta go to the fucking website.
This DJ's goddamn cat destroying my fucking headphones. Hold you responsible,
TJ. Here we go. I'll just read the fucking article. On his radio program yesterday, the American Family Association's Brian Fisher declared once again that only Christianity is protected by the First Amendment and that all non-Christians, including Jews, Muslims, and Native Americans, have no constitutionally guaranteed right to freely practice their faiths. Fisher, who routinely puts forward a completely incoherent theory regarding what the First Amendment was discussing, a case of what the First Amendment... I think there was like an incomplete sentence there. Whatever. was discussing a case involving North Carolina inmate who is suing for the right to practice Wicca. We need to declare that worshipers of the devil and all other non-Christian faiths are not entitled to First Amendment protections. The blunt, simple, direct, straightforward answer is that Wiccans do not have First Amendment rights, he said. Nor do Muslims, nor do Jews, nor do Native Americans, nor do Rastafarians, nor do any practitioners of any other religion other than Christianity.
Citation needed.
Whatever the First Amendment is about, whatever protections it extends in the federal constitution, those were just for Christianity, Fisher insisted.
Says who?
Christianity has First Amendment rights under the federal constitution. No other religion does.
Well, the whole reason the Constitution was written the way it was—I
mean, there's nothing in the First Amendment that says that.
Well, yeah, but also what I'm saying is it actually is the opposite. It's saying that you can have practice any religion wherever you want. Yeah, obviously, a little bit of majority. And, but do Christians really want it in a world that's ever increasingly not?
I know you guys are frozen, but I'm trying to pull up something else here.
No one wants that. People, if you want to be fucking stupid Christians, they should have the fucking. Even though
All right, I can't find what I'm looking for, but I wanted to tell you guys that there's another. You guys know Richard Spencer, right? The
the
neo-Nazi dude.
Yeah. So the other day I saw that he tweeted something where he basically said, "Okay, freedom of speech works okay, but only if people agree on the really important stuff." I think it was more for like heated arguments about baseball and stuff.
Right.
That's what he thinks freedom of speech is about.
It's
about protecting our rights to have an argument about baseball.
Yeah, that's why they enshrined it, so that we could have meaningless arguments about stupid subjective sports contests.
That was not.
Yep.
At the time, we had a fucking government, the United Kingdom.
A lot of people that came here fled the oppressive language control of the Church of England.
And religious persecution.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
Not the right not to have your, be able to practice your beliefs.
And the right to not be able to speak out against the prevailing belief.
I'm sure Brian Fisher would just say, well, yeah, it was about being able to practice a robust array of different types of Christianity. That's what they were really protecting.
About being persecuted. Hey, Brian Fisher, you want to see what an example that is? What sort of countries were minority like Pakistan? What happens to them there? Oh, but we don't want to actually try to protect those people legally. That fucking works, buddy, because one day you might be in the minority. It might not be a Christian nation.
I mean, there ain't no might about it. If he's an American, like, in his lifetime, he'll probably be in the minority.
So it's like, you know, I think you want these protections in place, and I think it makes...
I mean, he's already a member of a minority. The minority of white people stupid enough to be fucking neo-Nazis. What about that minority? I bet you want that minority protected.
I don't know if Brian Fisher's a neo-Nazi. Maybe he is.
I'm not talking about Brian Fisher. I'm talking about Richard Spencer. Dumbass fucking Spencer.
I mean, both of these guys are saying similar shit. Basically, like, they each have this, like, totally unfounded view of the First Amendment where it only really protects the stuff that I like.
Well, that's
what
that's
the founders intended was to be like, hey, what's this guy in the future's opinion going to be? And that's what we really meant.
So what is he fucking proposing? Why don't you just say that? Let's just silence everyone I don't like.
That's what he's saying.
You know, but where does he say that here? He says, oh, it doesn't apply to them. Well, what's that has to be an honest... what he's really saying. He's saying silence people
who
are not
Christians. Because you can't, like, dude, people on the right wing, religious people, neo-Nazis, they're all about hiding what they really believe and making it palatable for other people.
Oh, you know what? Perfect transition into this next story. Christian group conducts study on abortion, finds that Christians have the most abortions.
Unreal.
In the wake of the November 27th, 2015 Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado Springs, the findings of a survey released by Lifeway, a Christian research group, reveal some interesting facts about a seemingly hidden culture within the Christian community. The survey explored the true relationship of religion and abortion and was co-sponsored by the pregnancy support organization CareNet. These are some of their findings. 70% of the women they surveyed consider themselves Christians. Over 50% of the surveyed women who attended church regularly have kept their abortion secret from their church community. 40% of women surveyed feel that churches are not equipped to help them make decisions about unwanted pregnancies. So even religious people aren't, a lot of them, are not taking the rhetoric of abortion is evil seriously.
Well, they are in public.
But yeah, publicly they are.
Privately, they go behind the scenes and get them.
I mean, this is just exactly the kind of hypocrisy we're talking about here.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the same shit. What about, like, Ted Haggard, the Christian pastor who railed against homosexuality and then went home and got butt-fucked by, you know, male prostitutes?
A gigolo. Motels, got butt-fucked,
yeah, and did crystal meth. That's my favorite part. You know, it's one thing for him to just be off having gay sex, but the inclusion of crystal meth just lets you know, like, this is a regular fucking thing. This is not, like, in a moment a weakness. No, this is like, yeah, this is my, like, this is my side life that I live.
Talking about here. It's like, yeah, publicly, like Paul said, they're Christians. But then you know what? They get knocked up and they go, oh shit, I don't want this fucking baby, so they go get shit.
That's why religious thought is so fucking destructive, because out of their mouths, they're railing against all of the social safety nets and stuff that people take advantage of. And then in their private lives, behind the scenes, when they're not in public, when they're not trying to look like righteous or Christ-like or whatever the fuck, they're taking advantage of those very things. So they're arguing against the things that they take advantage of, just like everybody else does. Stupid hypocrisy. These people aren't at war with abortion. They're at war with themselves.
Yeah, I mean, how many fucking gay people are in the church and running off to go, you know, suck some dick in their fucking off time.
I mean, just look at all the fucking,
how many people,
look at the Catholic priests diddling little boys like a factory industry.
I mean,
you,
like,
know what I mean? Like, what do you think that's about?
There's not a single thing that these people rail against that they're not engaged in, is the point. It's like, you can't just be honest. I mean, if I don't give a shit. I'd much rather someone be honest about what they truly believe than to fucking, you know, I'm this way. You know, if
well,
you truly
believe
this shit.
Well, you'll never get that from
shit,
these people.
It's the conformity enforcement of society.
And this is really the thing that fucking, you know, Jordan Peterson defends, is this okay,
yeah,
let's all pretend to be good.
Yep.
Let's all pretend that we're so fucking righteous and pure, and here's some arbitrary moral rules that we're all going to follow, even though we're really not going to.
But in
wink.
Actuality, when you look at an account of the things that we do, we're all just a bunch of fucking hypocrites. Yay. Yeah,
yeah.
Man. Let's save society, guys.
This is going to save us.
Yeah, you're never going to get
being
what you
full
want
of
from
shit
these
will save us.
Yeah, these people cannot. They're in the existence of their stupid-ass belief system is predicated upon not being able to face the hypocrisy. If they look at how they live in complete fucking opposite nature to what they preach, then nothing will make sense. So they have to pretend that they're one thing in public and then be something else in private. Well, they're lying to themselves and everybody else in the process.
I'm not getting any fucking volume out of your mic here.
God damn it, TJ, it's probably because of you.
Did you turn your mic off?
No.
Well, it's working now.
It's probably a connection or something.
All right. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I was just saying that, I mean, why? No one should be surprised by any of this, because people are stunningly full of shit. Like you guys said, you could be honest. You could say, hey, you know what? I had to do this thing because of X, Y, or Z. You know, maybe it's not the right time for me to have a child. Maybe, you know, I'm just not ready. Maybe whatever. It doesn't matter. It's that these people who are proclaiming that they would never do this in a million years are going and doing it. Just like they're not supposed to have affairs, they go do that. Just like they're not supposed to murder people, of course they do that. We've seen so many fucking statistics where it shows the states with the highest murder rates are the states with the highest Christianity rate.
You know, it's like, it reminds me of something from Ambrose Bierce's Devil's Dictionaries, where he, I don't remember, I'm just going to paraphrase it, but he basically said, like, Christianity is a system of belief that, you know, tells you the right course of moral action for your neighbor. It's like, yeah, you know, yeah. And that's what they're interested in. They're not interested in following rules. They're interested in enforcing rules on others that they themselves don't follow.
It's about imposing their will on society. It's
even
not,
when
it's
they
not
don't impose it
the
on
rules.
Themselves.
They don't even, the rules don't matter. The rules change. Like when one of the rules becomes too hypocritical for them to abide by, they just assimilate it and make it part of their... part of their fucking religion and go forward.
What's like the whole gay marriage thing? Shit. It's like the gay marriage thing. We've seen the country mainly just shift away from it because it's not really an issue anymore.
Yeah, and most
but for years people were so against it. They were just they could not accept it. Like no, 90% against. Mississippi, I think, voted like 87% against. Now it happens there. And
yep.
Their society isn't crumbling. Nothing's wrong there as far as and even if it is
worrying about Mississippi society crumbling is kind of a waste of
but
time.
But I'm saying, but like their way of life honestly didn't crumble. It's just the people that were already doing this behavior were doing it. It's just the same with abortion. People want to get abortions because they don't want to have children, and that's an option. So we can keep denying it like, well, people aren't going to do this. Even if this is illegal, people are going to do it. Just like they smoke pot, it's illegal. They do fucking cocaine, it's illegal. They kill because it's illegal. They rob because it's illegal. It doesn't fucking matter.
All right.
There's certain things within humans you're just going to have.
I could probably talk about this all day, but we got to move on. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of the bigger news stories that's happened since our last show, our withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal. Trump pulls us out, as I think most of us suspected he was going to. I don't know why he was trying to keep us in suspense. I'm like, we all know you're going to pull out of this.
Well, in several articles I read, they said aides and the initial cabinet, initial advisors he had in place were less hawkish. And now Trump is basically has a very militaristic, heavy cabinet. And obviously, at this point, it's like, no, Iran's fucking us. We made a terrible deal. We got to fall out. I'm doing this to save the country.
I mean, there was problems with the deal. I mean,
Iran the deal wasn't great.
Iran was not honoring certain provisions of the fucking deal.
Of course they weren't.
And they were being given way too much leeway, and that's definitely true. But, I mean, like, first of all, I mean, to pull out of this deal when we're trying to make a deal with fucking North Korea at the same time, it's like, how are we supposed to have credibility of, like, the U.S. honors its deals?
Yeah.
If we fucking withdraw from this deal.
Dude, are you joking? The U.S. doesn't honor any fuck. It's like any major country, dude. It's like, do the Chinese honor their deals? Fuck no. Do the Russians honor their deals? Fuck no. Does the U.S. honor its deal? No. The answer is no. What this fucking country is it honors whatever fucking deal is advantageous at the time for the people that want the deal to be made. And guess what? Now there's new people to make the deal. And of course, Trump wants to go do a big fuck you to Obama, so he pulled out of the deal.
I mean, I think it's more than a fuck you to Obama. I think that, you know, I mean, like, there's every indication of the beginnings of a drumbeat to war with fucking Iran happening right now all over the place. I mean, the signs are spilling out.
There have been little lulls in that sentiment, but when has that stopped in the last 10 years?
Bomb.
But it's ramping up is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you know, for a while ramping it was up, quiet down.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's been a little under the radar, but I don't think the intention ever stopped.
I mean, you got Bolton now as part of the cabinet. You know he wants to go to war with Iran.
There's also a lot of dissent in Iran. I mean, it's suppressed, obviously. But, you know, you have one side, which you have a fucking... You basically have a theocratic government.
We will
government.
Be greeted as liberators. No.
No, we won't.
It's not going to happen. It never happens.
I mean, could that region get more destabilized, like a major war with Iran?
Oh, we'll try. We'll give it our best shot.
I mean, because then you already have Iraq, a destabilized state. You have Syria, a destabilized state. Then you have Iran, a destabilized state.
Afghanistan.
I mean, the list just goes on and on.
We need to pass a law that says if a Republican president starts a war with one of these fucking Middle Eastern countries, all the refugees have to be sent to red states.
I mean, is this what this country really needs? Another military conflict? I mean, come on, people.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, obviously, it's very early. We don't know if it's going that way or all this stuff. It's just speculation. But
we just need a law that says every one of these politicians, if you vote for a fucking war, your children are immediately conscripted and sent to the front line. I'm fine with it. You want to have a war? Send your kids.
Well, what about the ones that don't have any kids? They're just like, fine by me.
Well, then they got to go.
They got to go themselves. Yep. You got
to
go.
You don't got somebody to represent you, then you get to go do something on the front lines.
Going to the front lines.
Go out there and serve.
Yeah, right on the front line. This is pretty crazy. I think it undermines our interest to do it, and pretty much so does... Like, you know who our fucking allies are on this? Saudi Arabia and Israel.
Yep. Oh, dude, Israel.
Those are the and the United Arab Emirates. Those are the countries that actually agree with our decision to do this.
Cool.
Basically, the countries.
So,
Saudi Arabia's
on our side, guys. We must be doing the right thing.
But you know what? That's funny because you can clearly tell that Trump really wants Saudi Arabia on our side because, like, another thing, Obama, there's a lot of distance in the Obama administration with the Saudis. Now, Trump has totally just embraced them and, oddly enough, also embraced Israel.
Oh, dude, he's back over there rubbing their glowing orbs with their king and shit and fucking, oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, they're totally enamored with Trump, too. You can just tell they really just love Trump because, like,
he's an autocrat, just like they've got.
Yeah, it's like they talk to him and the sentiments he has, like, I wish we could do this in our country. And they're like, Trump is good.
I'm a despot. You're a despot. We're all despots.
Oh,
here.
Dude, Trump would be a total despot if he could be. If he could have that,
he's trying his damnedest, dude. He's trying his fucking damnedest.
I mean, but that's pretty much. In fairness to Trump, he pretty much said that's what he wanted.
And here's one of those. When I talk about this drumbeat to war, this is a story that's been reported everywhere. Everywhere I've seen this, CNN, NBC, whatever the fuck, liberal media, conservative media, they're all pushing this. Iranian MPs set fire to end deal after U.S. withdrawal. They set fire to the American flag is the fucking story. They're all sitting there chanting death to America. They're burning the fucking flag, and it's being pushed by every media outlet all over this fucking country.
But, you know, the MPs of Iran are basically puppets because the fucking Ayatollah, fucking is the one that controls the country. He has the final say over who becomes the president of Iran. So, this is a theocracy. These people chanting this are because that's what... Also, the U.S. just withdrew from the fucking deal. But this is a theocratic state. If they're told to go do this, they're going to do it.
The thing that I hate about this story is just that I know that it's designed to... All right, look what they did. We could push this in front of the face of every American... And people who are fucking so enamored with our fucking national symbol are like, oh my God, yeah. They burned a piece of cloth and said things.
They've always got
into another ill-advised, costly, long war against them.
Yeah, we've always got to whip up some anger against the country, and now we're doing that.
They're helping us out here by burning the fucking flag and fucking their parliament or whatever the fuck they have. But
I mean, nobody's ever wiped their ass on an Iranian flag over here. Who fucking cares? It's a fucking flag. These people are idiots. They're cheering about the fact that they're about to get hit with fucking life-ruining sanctions. Like, why would you be angry at this idiocy? Don't you got shit? Can't you walk out in front of your house and look around at the stupid people that surround you in your neighborhood and get angry about something a little more fucking close to home?
Well, they have several times. Why
are we constantly got a pair of binoculars on looking into other countries for shit to be pissed about? Ain't there enough right here to be fucking incensed about than these fucking stupid morons burning a fucking cheap-ass American flag because they're about to have their fucking lives ruined by sanctions?
Oh, dude, it was great. They were trying to set fire to it. Apparently, they didn't choose a flammable enough material for the flag because it kept going out. They tried to light it like 8 times before the motherfucker finally lit.
That always happens. I've seen so many of these flag protests where people are trying to fucking do something to the flag and it doesn't cooperate. They're trying to rip it and it won't. Trying to burn it and it won't.
Flag is built strong. America strong.
Such a meaningless, empty, jingoistic fucking... No, I guess not jingoistic. Anti-jingoistic fucking...
It is jingoist because it's basically saying, like, our country's awesome. Fuck America. Right. We're better. This is like, you know, they stole our team mascot, guys. We got to cream them in the game Sunday. I mean, it's just... I hate that across the board... Whether it's liberal media, whether it's conservative media, I've seen this story fucking everywhere, being pushed by everyone, being trotted in front of our eyes.
It feels similar, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel eerie?
It feels like the lead up to fucking, it feels like the build up to Iraq, where the media and the government are in complete fucking collusion.
The conservative media, the liberal media, pretty much everybody in the media all starts covering the same shit with
walking
the same tone.
In tandem.
Yeah, you're like, uh-oh.
All the illusion of, like, there are dissenting voices. voices, all that vanishes.
I mean, didn't that vanish when that fucking supercut came out of people just reading the script at 90 million different stations? I mean,
yes.
I've never had any illusion that the people in the news
are
independent.
We fucking said this, dude. It's the bread and circuses, man. It's all for fucking show. Anyone that believes this shit.
This is what the election of Donald Trump was about, by the way. If we end up going to fucking war with Iran, this is why he was pushed so hard. This is why he was elected, because people are going to get fucking rich off of these sanctions. People are going to get fucking rich off of any bombing campaign or any military buildup that happens because of this. That's why this is happening. That's why the media is covering it like it's the biggest story that ever happened. Bunch of fucking backwards idiots in Iran burnt an American flag. Let's go bomb them.
The media has been bought and paid for so long ago because they rely in large part, especially now, on advertising. And who's going to buy? And who has the money to fucking fund these big ass campaigns? That these
people that have money invested in all this shit.
All the big businesses. Yeah. It's just like when YouTube was like, "Oh yeah, everyone can be a partner. It's cool. We can kind of have freedom of speech." Oh wait, the advertisers don't like it. Never mind, guys. Our real fucking corporate masters have said, nope.
Yeah,
we don't want this.
I don't know if you guys, since we're talking about YouTube, I didn't pull a story about this, but I probably should have. YouTube has started to ban marijuana related channels.
They have.
Positive Smash.
Yeah, Positive Smash's channel.
A friend of ours.
Our buddy Positive Smash, her channel got taken. Maybe I can find an article about it really quick.
So this is the same thing that happened with, like, gun channels.
It promotes drug use.
It's just like, so?
This is from the Mary Jane. Sorry. No.
Whoa.
What the hell? Where'd it go? I just brought it over here.
TJ's drunk again. To those watching, we do apologize. TJ has been drinking again.
I just fucking dragged this stupid son of a bitch
TJ's
over to this thing.
TJ's preferred drink of choice is screwdrivers. Likes vodka and orange juice, kind of covers up the smell of alcohol on his breath.
Yeah, we're going to need you to do a few tests for us.
All right, so.
TJ. Okay, finally, TJ. Sorry, we got to apologize. TJ has been drinking.
So all right, whatever. YouTube is shutting down marijuana channels. Account owners say they haven't violated community guidelines as the company refuses to respond to inquiries. In what appears to be more than just a coincidence, YouTube has shut down a number of cannabis-related channels over the past several weeks. One such channel, Marijuana Television, based out of Spain, released a notice about the censorship on April 12th. During the last 6 years, our YouTube channel has been a reference of information on cannabis culture in Spanish. The statement translates, up to 500,000 people a month visited us. However, on April 11th, and without notice, YouTube canceled our account. Our wings have been cut off. The pattern is international, targeting channels across the United States, Canada, and Europe. Some of these channels are purely educational or for entertainment. Others are related to cultivation, grow shops, or seed banks. They don't care. And it's weird that as our country more and more embraces legal recreational marijuana, this is when
YouTube decides to crack down. It's just YouTube is always on the wrong side of every issue. Their reaction to things is always the exact opposite of what it should be. YouTube, at this time, when cannabis is starting to become a more acceptable thing and the push for legalization seems to be gathering steam, YouTube could continue to be a reference point for that and show that, look, even back when people were crazy and thought it was super illegal, we were there, man. We were getting the information out. Because we're YouTube. We allow people to say what they want. We allow ideas to fucking stand on their own merit on this platform. But no! They think that this culture of people that likes to hear what people have to say about things wants their fucking platform to decide what they can and can't see for them. That's where their brains are.
Dude, they're trying. I mean, and people know it. I mean, YouTube has been trying for a while now to reinvent itself as like the new MTV. They're pushing the music shit harder and harder. It's all about music.
We're family
videos.
Friendly.
It's all about their produced content now. And, you know, it's getting fucking pretty ridiculous. Like, there's just more and more shit as an independent creator that you're just being crowded out. Oh, no, you can't talk about this. Oh, no, you can't talk about this. But I mean, what are the chances that they're going to shut down? You know, I mean, like, I guarantee that YouTube is going to have shows with like crazy stoner characters and, you know,
what about ideology?
Yeah, it's okay for there to be... I mean, look, what, there's a fucking sitcom on Netflix about a weed shop. And I know that that shit's going to keep... The clips of that are going to be on YouTube on their official channels and shit, and that's going to be fine. So basically, I mean, it's like there's one set of standards for an independent content creator, and there's a totally different set of standards for corporate Vice? Creators.
What about all the shit they cover on Vice about marijuana? They do a marijuana week.
Dude, Vice has a whole fucking show that's not only about marijuana, it's about traveling all over the world and trying weird-ass drugs.
Oh, let's shut that down, though. Oh, wait,
no, they're not going to get shut down.
Oh, they're not?
Of course they're not.
Oh, wow, I'm so surprised.
Mom and Pop backers. Marijuana Channel is going to get shut down, but big corporate overlord marijuana channel is still acceptable.
Yeah. That's Vice News is owned by HBO.
Of course. That's why, you know, we put shit on DTube. We need to put more shit on DTube and support that platform.
And you wonder why I don't cry when some psycho goes and fucking shoots up YouTube.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though. Like, we would not exist. We would all be doing something else right now if it wasn't for Patreon. 100%. The platform that we make content on no longer monetizes us to the point where one of us could survive on it, let alone all of us.
I mean, even PewDiePie... Who's like the big, you know, he's super huge on YouTube. He basically says, like, I can't make enough money on YouTube ads. I'm basically a hat salesman at this point. Because now his model's based on merchandise now. Even getting the numbers that he gets, he can't make a living on this fucking platform
anymore.
That's
insane.
This platform, in terms of make content to make money, is fucking dead.
Yep.
It's dead.
Right now, it's just a hosting site.
The only people that are allowed... I mean, like, they're still letting us host some of our videos there. That's about it. That's what YouTube is now. A place where you can host safe videos for the masses to consume. Will you get paid for it? No. But our corporate, you know, your corporate content, that'll be paid. They'll get tons of money. We'll put ads on there because... If a giant corporation has approved it for American consumption, yeah, those are good gatekeepers, right?
Yeah.
We want corporate America to control what sort of content is okay for us to see. That's a good fucking notion. That seems like it's going to work just fine. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, I hate this stupid bullshit, man.
Here's another thing to get pissed about. Although it's a smaller story. Doesn't affect as many people, but still kind of fucked up. German man ordered to pay child support after ex-wife forges for IVF pregnancy. So basically she fakes his signature so that she can, you know, get pregnant using his fucking sperm.
And then wants child support.
And now she got it.
Oh, yep. Ordered to pay.
Yeah, she gets the child support. So a child that he never consented to have that she actually, like, forged. Okay, we'll just read the article. A woman in Germany forged her ex-husband's signature twice to undergo IVF treatment with eggs fertilized by his sperm while they were married. Now a court has ruled he has to pay child support for a son he didn't agree to have. 5 years ago, Carl and Inge, whatever, gave their written permission for doctors at a local clinic to freeze Inge's eggs, fertilized with Carl's sperm, so they could have children later in life. In Germany, last names aren't given in court cases. After divorcing each other, Inge forged Carl's signature twice.
After they were divorced.
Yes, after their divorce, to use a fertilized egg to become pregnant and gave birth to a boy. The 37-year-old Carl had filed a lawsuit after he became legally obliged to provide child support following the birth of his son by his 42-year-old ex-wife.
This is ridiculous.
A regional court in southern Germany city of Munich ruled on Wednesday that he must provide financial support for his child who had been born without his
explicit consent. After they divorced.
See, this is why, like, I'm not a big MRA dude, all right? But this is why...
I got this from the men's rights subreddit, by the way.
I can imagine that you did. And I don't really fall in line with the MRA mindset. But this is why when there's an imbalance in how people are treated that's unfair... And you allow it to keep going due to tradition or cultural, you know, recognition or whatever the fucking reason is. This is the end result, is that people are going to use it maliciously. And this is not the only story like this. I mean, women have been getting pregnant when the dude didn't think that they should be able to get pregnant for fucking generations. Women have been putting babies on men that they didn't want for generations. And we can't allow that to fucking happen. We can't have a system that says that a bitch can fucking forge your signature and use your sperm without your consent.
Yeah, after you get divorced.
Make a baby and you got to pay for it.
Yeah, you put some sperm in a sperm bank. Oh, but you're divorced now? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Because you know who suffers from that the most? Not even the dude, the not the chick. The kid that's used as a little chess piece that wasn't brought into this world because somebody wanted to make a kid, but was brought into this world so that they could be used as leverage against another person. Fuck that.
This is my vengeance, child.
And that's what happens when you allow this moralistic bullshit where there's this huge imbalance between how men and women are treated when it comes to family court. When you allow that to continue to go on because, oh, well, this is the end result.
I've heard of stories, maybe even worse than this, where a woman gives birth to a kid. The husband or the boyfriend is looking at the kid like, this kid does not look like mine. So they get a fucking test. They find out the kid isn't theirs, so they leave the woman, and then the court still, even knowing the child is not biologically his, they're like, well, you did take, you know, responsibility for it when it was born, so child support.
Well, you know, the big thing is, did you sign the birth certificate? Yep. You said you were the father.
You said you were the father. You agreed to be the father. Yeah. Well, now there's evidence that proves scientifically that I am not.
Yeah, that is an almost infinitesimally small possibility.
If you're a man and you're duped... or lied about, or some your name is fucking signature is forged on something, you got to live with the results of that, and that's supposed to be fair, that's supposed to be justice.
Yep,
it's not. And unjust laws like this, and this way, the way the laws have been interpreted in Germany are wrong. I'm sorry, it makes no fucking sense that someone, after someone gets divorced, takes their sperm, forges a signature, should be paid child support. That's her decision. She wanted to do that. She lied. She should have to support the child.
Well, there's a good chance that something like this either could or has happened here. I mean, we're the same way when it comes to like this, like weighted decisions against the man, no matter what. You know, the legal thought process behind that, like, whole my wife cheated on me and I found out the kid isn't mine, but I still have to pay child support is, well, the kid shouldn't have to suffer. It's like, no, the fucking, like, and I understand that. Yeah, the kid shouldn't have to suffer. Yeah. But how's the kid not going to suffer from forcing this other dude to pay child support? So now he's got a dad that doesn't love him or want him. Thanks, legal system.
That might not even be his dad. Ridiculous shit. Here's a news story that I read, and I'm like, where is this cocaine delivery service? It's quicker to get cocaine delivered to your door than a takeaway pizza, report finds. Why don't I have the number to this cocaine
because
delivery
you don't leave
service?
The house.
Well, one,
like, honestly,
you gotta make a fucking pizza.
Like, I'm telling you, TJ, like, especially now, cocaine is huge. It's every fucking where.
Yeah.
Like, all you gotta do is go someplace where it's being sold and buy it.
People living in England and Scotland can get cocaine delivered to their front door quicker than a takeaway pizza, a major global drug survey has found. More than a third of 1,000 cocaine users surveyed in England. Like, right to your door.
Yeah.
Right to your door, man.
Yeah.
500 plus in Scotland said they can get the drug delivered within half an hour. The fifth and sixth quickest in the world rankings. Okay.
Dude, I've told you about this before, TJ, but yeah. I'm telling you, the drug delivery to your door shit, it's every bit as spectacular as you think it is. I had it in California when I had my green card. In fact, it was the only legal way that you could get it.
Yeah.
And when I had to re-up on weed in California with a green card, you know what I did? I picked up the phone and I called my guy and I asked him, what's real good right now? And he's like, oh, this is real good. And I'm like, yeah, give me an ounce of that. And in 30 to 45 minutes, he's at my door.
Wow.
That's beautiful, dude.
What a beautiful thing.
Oh, you know what, dude? Man, I'm out of papers, too. Can you throw in some papers?
Careful.
Yeah, you want combs
Careful,
or
Paul.
Papers?
We don't want to turn into a marijuana channel. You
I'm
know
just saying,
dangerous
man.
That
it's
is
just
on
a
YouTube
beautiful
now.
Fucking thing.
It is beautiful. Wow.
But you have to also, I mean, there's also the logic of it. I mean, you have to make a pizza. There's a million different combinations, and then they have to bring it to you. Cocaine, they already got that shit. It's ready. Yeah, they can
it's a bag. Out. Slap it in a fucking bag.
Yeah, they're ready to sell
it. They already
it
have
it
slapped in a bag.
It's already in a bag. It's how much do you want and when.
Drive to your place. Yeah, maybe, you know, like...
Maybe like just, a cocaine, like the cocaine truck.
I mean, this is just another one of those signs like of the times truck. That the fucking war on drugs is not working, guys. It's not working. You can get coke delivered easier than a pizza now. It's well, not working.
At least in the UK and Scotland, so we'll see.
Well, I bet if they did a fucking survey here, especially in areas where it's really, like LA and shit, around big cities.
Yeah, no problem.
Dude, it's the same shit.
Well, LA would take longer than 30 minutes of traffic.
We've gone through enough depressing stories. Here's a happy story. Man trying to take selfie with bear dies after being mauled by
beautiful.
Bear.
Beautiful.
You know, good.
Is there a video of this guy being mauled?
There is.
Oh, wow.
This video may contain graphic
content. Can we
content.
Show this?
I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, you can go watch it for yourselves. It's not hard to find. A man was mauled to death by a bear after he tried to take a selfie with the creature. After stopping to go to the toilet on his way home from a wedding, Prabhu Bhattari is said to have spotted the injured animal in the Nabhurangpur district
so
of Odisha.
There's a large, angry fucking bear that's injured and scared. And what does this guy think to do?
His fellow SUV passengers advised him against trying to take a picture
so
with
normal people.
As he sidled up, the bear struck and a struggle ensued. A stray dog also stepped in and bit the bear, but its intentions failed to deter the larger animal.
Damn.
Forest ranger Danurjarya, whatever, Mahapatra said Mr. Bhattara died on the spot. He added the bear is being treated for its injuries. Cool.
Oh, man.
You know, if this happened in America, that bear would probably be killed. Like, this bear needs to be killed for what he did.
Well, you know what? Maybe not, though, because he did approach the bear.
Yeah, it depends. Like, in America, if a bear encroaches on human society in a way that's dangerous to humans or mauls a human in a campground, it's usually put down. But if a bear's out in natural, like, in a place where people know that there are bears and some idiot walks up to it, I don't think they're shooting that bear.
I'm getting a selfie with a
dude. Why would you? I mean, look, this guy is a fucking Darwin Award winner. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Everyone around him said, like, no, dude, don't go near the fucking injured, dying fucking bear.
Did he get a good selfie while the bear was mauling him?
I don't know. That's the one thing the article doesn't let us know.
How many insta pics? How many insta hits did he get on his?
So many.
On his
so
bear
many
mauling?
Paul, so many. All right, so that's pretty much, you know, I just wanted you guys to have a little happy story.
I do feel happier.
That dressed it right up.
Eric Schneiderman and the particular horror of strangling women.
Whoa, dude.
So this guy, he's the, I guess he was a state senator at the time that he did this stuff, but he was a AG, I think, for New York. In March 2010, then State Senator Eric Schneiderman held a press conference to announce his new bill, which would make strangulation, a uniquely terrifying form of violence common in abusive relationships, a serious crime in New York State. This is an important moment for us and for the struggle to make sure that crimes of domestic violence are treated effectively and seriously as they need to be, he said, flanked by law enforcement advocates. Our approach to domestic violence has been an approach that says hands off. On Monday, 8 years later, Schneiderman resigned his post as New York's attorney general after two ex-girlfriends came forward with claims that he strangled and physically abused them while serving as the state's top law enforcement official.
Wait, more hypocrisy.
In a statement, Schneiderman denied the allegations, saying, in the privacy of intimate relationships, I have engaged in role-playing and other consensual sexual activities. I have not assaulted anyone. I have never engaged in non-consensual sex, which is a line I would not cross. Maybe. I mean, the guy's not been found guilty of this shit. If charges are brought in New York, Schneiderman's own bill may be used against him. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch, man.
I hope it is.
That's got to be a fucking... That's got to suck, though. You know, you're sitting there, you're like, man... Why did I fucking pass that don't strangle bitches rule?
No, you'd never do that. Because this dude, if it's true that he strangled women in the past, is clearly doing this as a way to atone for his own little sins and shit. And now it's going to come back to bite him in the fucking ass. He's a hypocrite. Fuck him.
The women's graphic accounts published in The New Yorker, along with claims from two more women who are afraid to be identified, offer insight into the insidious terror of domestic violence and specifically into the act of strangulation, one of the most dangerous and under-prosecuted forms of assault. And this goes on to talk about strangulation and stuff. I'm more interested in just the fact of this guy's hypocrisy.
It's a weird picture to put on.
Yeah, what is with this picture? They made him look like a fucking giant moon coming to swallow a planet or something. What is like, there was no better picture than like, let's get just like the very side of his face. We just want to make him look like this creepy floating.
I think that's what it was.
I vacuum.
Think they clearly just took an image of him and like, we want him to look really creepy and out of place.
A lot of conservatives, by the way, have been commenting on this story saying that the liberal media is burying it and stuff. This guy also was one of the people who was leading the charge against Weinstein and shit. So even more hypocrisy there if these allegations are true, which, you know, once again, they're not, haven't been proven true
they're
or
allegations.
Anything. They're still allegations. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was just kind of a funny story to me. Just another example of hypocrisy. But, yeah, a lot of conservatives have been pissed that the liberal media has been burying this story. This one is actually on Huffington Post, so I don't know that that's true, that they're burying the story. But there has been some complaints from our right-wing brethren. Here's another happy story. World's biggest orgy to be attempted in Las Vegas.
Sick.
Whoa, dude. As a coincidence, I am going to Vegas this weekend. No, I mean, not really.
The only thing more eyebrow-raising than a world record for the biggest orgy ever is that it didn't happen in Las Vegas, but the sexual enthusiasts at Menage Life are hoping to change that on June 2nd. Sin City 8, the event's 8th edition, is set to completely take over the Embassy Suites on Swenson Street, May 30th. I would not want to be one of the people that has to clean those suites.
So are you going to go, TJ? Are you going to attend the world's largest
orgy? 5-day festival devoted to carnal pleasure and topless camaraderie will include workshops, cool. Examples, sensuous bondage basics, laughter belongs in the dungeon, and intro to lifestyle consent 101.
Dude, it sounds like you're going to learn a lot of shit.
Sex toy demos, naughty parties, etc. And surely, serving as the weekend climax, the attempt to break the world record for the world's largest orgy.
Wow.
That is the reported record. I can confirm this is not a record title that we recognize or monitor, says a Guinness representative. Therefore, we will not be a Guinness World Records adjudicator on site for this event.
Oh, come on.
You know, come on, Guinness, get with the times.
Yeah, seriously.
Quit being fucking prudes. We want to know what the largest orgy is just as much as we want to know what the world's tallest hat is or some stupid shit.
It's 20 ways legal marijuana has affected Nevada.
If Guinness was smart, they'd just start a new record book, you know, like a side book for sex shit.
Yeah.
Guinness's book of sex records.
Yeah, record for jerking off the most times in a day. You know what I mean? Just open the floodgates.
Apparently the current record is 500.
Oh, they're going to beat
which
that,
happened
dude.
At some kind of Tokyo event, I guess. They said they're going to blow that out of the water. We're anticipating 1,000 plus participants for this monumental event.
There you go.
They're going to double that old fucking Tokyo record.
We want some fucking Japs having the damn record. What? The goddamn
hell no.
Americans.
America. America. It's beautiful stuff. So, yeah, this is another happy story. There's not as much to say about the happy stories. Harley Quinn spinoff is an R-rated girl gang film, says Margot Robbie. So they're making a Harley Quinn spinoff, which I guess they're going to take her out of the Suicide Squad, which is probably a good idea.
Yeah,
they
smart
suck.
Move. Because she was the only thing in that movie that was even remotely interesting.
And they're going to give her a bunch of fucking other bad girl side. I think they're going to make it like the fucking like a dark adult version of the Powerpuff Girls or some shit. Like here's a bunch of fucking bad girls.
Hopefully not including
on a rampage.
The terrible Jared Leto Joker. Hopefully he's admitted.
They're going to. There's no fucking way they're bringing that back.
They have to recast the Joker, dude.
They're getting rid of that shit for sure. So it's gonna be R-rated. That sounds cool. Make it more like fucking like a female Deadpool or something.
Says that they have their hands in a Joker versus Harley movie.
Cool.
So
that might be fun if they can actually find someone decent to play the Joker.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting because I saw that movie and thought she was pretty much the only thing that was worth a fuck in it. So
cool.
In you know many senses.
Yeah, maybe they can save the character.
Yeah, save the character.
Give it a chance to be decent.
Don't let fucking David Ayer direct it again. Yeah. That
no,
much.
Please no.
Dr. Dre loses trademark battle with a gynecologist called Dr. Dre.
Whoa.
Spelled differently. Isn't this great? I love that shit like this happens on our world. Hip-hop star Dr. Dre has lost a long-running trademark dispute against a gynecologist with a similar name. The case was first lodged in 2015 when Pennsylvania-based gynecologist Drayon M. Birch decided to trademark the name Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre, the rapper, objected, saying the similarity could cause confusion. Especially, no one's going to confuse you with a fucking gynecologist. Yeah, I know you might. Maybe you think you've seen a lot of pussy, but I think the gynecologist has probably seen a little more. Especially as his near namesake wanted to sell audiobooks and seminars under the moniker. But the U.S. Trademark Office has disagreed and dismissed Dr. Dre, the rapper's case. In a ruling made last week, it said, while the two names were similar, Dr. Dre has failed to show that people would be misled into buying Dr. Dre's products.
Yeah, nobody's going to buy like a pussy seminar and think it's coming from Dr. Dre, the rapper. Unless he makes a pussy seminar.
Dr. Dre is not a medical doctor. No shit. Because Dr. Dre is not a medical doctor, nor is he qualified to provide any type of medical services or sell products specifically in the medicinal or healthcare industry. So they're basically saying, like, no one thinks Dr. Dre is a real doctor, so no one's going to be fucking confused by this.
I agree with the decision. Let this guy fucking sell his little bullshit seminars and all that shit. I mean, they don't show a picture of him, but I doubt they look alike. They're in totally different fields. No one's going to be confused.
Yeah, I'm actually like really skeptical as to whether this the actual Dr. Dre even thought about Dr. Dre when he did this.
Probably not.
His last name's probably just, Dre.
This is just some rich asshole being like, don't use the fucking a name that's similar to mine. It's like, it's actually his name, though. So
yeah, he's actually a doctor. If anything, he should sue you. Disgraced filmmaker Roman Polanski says the Me Too movement is total hypocrisy. Oscar-winning filmmaker Roman Polanski says the Me Too movement that sheds light on sexual misconduct of powerful men in Hollywood is collective hysteria and total hypocrisy. Polanski made the comment to Newsweek Polska in an interview given just days before the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences stripped him of his nearly 50-year membership, citing a case in 1977 in which he pleaded guilty to unlawful sex with a minor. The interview was published this week. He said, everyone is trying to sign up to Me Too chiefly out of fear, and compared it to North Korea's public mourning for its leader that is so intensive that you can't stop laughing. He did not further explain. A Paris-born Holocaust survivor, Polanski won an Academy Award for directing The Pianist in 2003. So on the charge of hypocrisy, got to agree with Polanski, because they gave him an Oscar in 2003 when everyone still knew that he pled guilty to raping a minor.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of does. I mean, like, it kind of proves his point to an extent, doesn't it? Like, they didn't give a shit that he raped a minor, and then, oh, Me Too happened. Oh, my God, we got to fucking stand up to this shit. We got to stand up to it.
Right.
Got to stand up.
I mean, not only that, but He makes a point too, even though he himself is guilty of some crime. Hollywood has been run on sex and trading sex favors and trading an underage sex. I mean, it's an open secret now, literally, that Hollywood has been fueled by this underground drumbeat of sex and trading sex for power and shit forever, since its inception.
Well, we know the truth behind it.
I got just the part for her.
The truth is that it's easier from a public relations standpoint to say, oh, Me Too, we support this movie, well, we're so for it, and just continue to have business as usual. And that's all it's going to be. It's just going to be now, oh, we got to be a lot more careful.
My thing is just like, who believes Hollywood's, you know, oh, Roman Polanski, he bad. He bad. You gave him an Oscar in 2003. How many years after his rape was that?
Hollywood is going to go whichever way the wind blows. If it suddenly became a cultural phenomenon to hate your grandmother, Hollywood would make fucking just endless movies about the evil grandmothers and shit. They don't give a fuck about anything.
Mamma must die. A lot of these coming soon to a theater near you.
Hollywood mouthpieces backing the Me Too movement are engaged in the very shit that the Me Too movement is supposedly supposed to be about addressing. And they're going to continue to be.
And nothing's changed. It's just that what new veneer is going to be shown. And like I said, like with all these films where it's like, oh no, it's an all female cast, all this, it's just like Paul said, it's just playing to what people want. And when their taste changes away from that, Hollywood will be ready to service that too.
Yeah.
Because they're just a fucking big whore and they're just waiting to be like, what do people want? Oh yeah, this is what they want to be told. Well, let's tell them that.
When society inevitably gets tired with this SJW moralizing bullshit, and make no bones about it, that time is coming. Hollywood will be right on the heels of that change. It'll be the new edgy Hollywood. None of this SJW nonsense. We're edgy again. You guys buying this shit? Because I ain't.
I think hypocrisy has been a big theme of the show today.
Yeah, it really has. I don't even think you designed it that way.
No, I didn't. No. There's just a lot of hypocritical bullshit happening all over the place right now. Here's more hypocrisy. Gina Haspel refused to say if the waterboarding that happened on her watch was immoral. That's outrageous. I don't need you to editorialize if that's outrageous. I can come to my own conclusion about being
outrageous.
I was already
outraged about halfway through that sentence, so...
Before Gina Haspel testified at the long-awaited hearing on her nomination to be director of the CIA, I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. From all accounts, including her own Wednesday morning, she's been the consummate spy, having clandestinely collected intelligence in back alleys and dead drops in unspecified countries, then rising up the ladder at CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. If in the course of her career, she ran a black site in Thailand where terror suspects were tortured, maybe there was a way she could convincingly disavow what she did. Instead, I was offended by her refusal to answer Senator Kamala Harris's straightforward critical question. Did Haspel think what happened at those black sites was immoral? You could hear Haspel winding up the pitch for the long meandering non-answer, an infuriating tradition among candidates for jobs at their confirmation hearings. When Harris, a Democrat, California, cut her off with a blunt, I'd like a yes or no answer. Harris tried again and Haspel dodged until finally saying she thought she had answered the question, and Harris reminded her that she hadn't. So basically just asked up front, this bitch right here ran black sites where torture and, you know, special rendition or whatever the fuck it's called was
torture
going on.
Is what I call
torture. Waterboarding and all kinds of other stuff. Locking people in boxes.
Torture.
Beating pregnant women's stomachs, trying to make them, make them scared they're going to miscarry and shit. Chaining a pregnant woman to a wall and beating her stomach and shit. Crazy shit. Just like
all kinds of
insane levels of disgusting, evil fucking shit that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy if you're a decent fucking human being.
Yep.
This bitch did it. She was asked, will you disavow it? She said, nah. Not going to disavow shit. Fuck you. And I've seen people, I saw Kyle Kulinski tweet that this bitch should be in jail, and someone posted in response, she did what she had to do and posted the 9/11 pictures. Like, the towers went down, anything we did afterwards was fucking justified.
By the way, can anybody give me an example of some major actionable intelligence that's come from torturing a person?
Well, no. I mean, I can't. Maybe someone can.
Here's the problem with torture. If you torture somebody at a certain point, which most people is not going to take very long, they will say anything.
Yeah, they'll be anything
the torture
that you tell them they are.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll tell you whatever they think you want to hear to end
all in the same country that wants to moralize about how bad ISIS is, and look at the terrible things these other people do, and this other country did this, and we don't do that in this country, but yet we have fucking sites in other countries where we can basically legally torture people.
I'm just maybe there is an example out there, but we see a lot of it in movies where the fucking terrorist gets captured and they torture it out of him. But I don't remember hearing a news story about, that time New York City almost got blown up, but we tortured it out of the guy what was going to do it. I don't ever remember that happening. Maybe I'll be corrected in the comments or something.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's never happened because I don't know.
I'm sure it's probably happened before.
I mean, if it had, though, wouldn't we know?
Yeah, I feel like we would. But, is it reliable? I mean, it's clearly not, because once again, we know. Yeah, I mean, if I fucking strap someone to a wall and start beating the shit out of them, and I tell them, tell me where the pink unicorn is. Eventually, they're going to give me a fucking location for a pink unicorn. It's not going to be there, but they'll fucking say it. They'll say it's anywhere. It's the bottom of the Marianas Trench. Mystery pooper at New Jersey High School's track turned out to be superintendent, cops say. Let that sink in for a moment.
I love it.
Kind of bizarre.
So this, I mean, like, the Kenilworth School superintendent charged Monday with defecating in public was caught in the act at the Holmdel High School football field and track after surveillance was set up due to human feces being found on a daily basis, police said. Thomas Tramaglini, 42, lives about 3 miles from Holmdel High School in neighboring Aberdeen. He was running at the track on the athletic fields at 5:50 a.m. before he was arrested. Track coaches and staff at Holmdel High School told the district resource officer that they found human feces on or near the football field and track daily, Holmdel police said in a statement Thursday. School employees began monitoring the area, and on Monday, police arrested Tramaglini at 5:50 a.m., according to Sergeant Theodore Sigismondi. Tramaglini is also charged with lewdness and littering. He is due in municipal court, Holmdel, 8:15 a.m.
So it sounds like this dude just had like a morning ritual that involved getting up, going for a run, and somewhere halfway through the run, he's got to take a big morning shit. And yeah. So he was just, you know, in the habit of, fuck it, it's 5:50 a.m. Nobody's around. I'm just going to drop trow here and dump ass, keep my run going.
Well, also, a lot of people, it makes them move their bowels if they exercise like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like the runner shits, dude. It happens to people that they're runners. They'll have to shit, like, violently.
It says here that Tramaglini has now taken a paid leave of absence from his $147,504 a year job in Kenilworth.
Cool. Good to know he's still making that. Making that cheddar.
Shit on the field, still make the dough. Why not? I told Paul about this yesterday, but or maybe it was the day before. I don't know.
This is cute.
World of Warcraft currency is now worth 7 times as much as Venezuela's cash. Venezuela's real world currency, the Bolivar, long ago fell below the value of fake gold in Azeroth, the mythical setting of World of Warcraft.
The fake what's gold remarkable, of
Azeroth. What's remarkable is how much more valuable the virtual currency has become. To put things into perspective, last August, WoW's virtual gold was worth just under twice as much as the Bolivar. Today, it's worth nearly 7 times as much, and possibly a lot more than that if you consider the black market value. And then they tell you how the math works out. It says, per Google, one U.S. dollar is worth 68,915 Bolivar. Compare that to the price of WoW tokens, official in-game credits that can be used to extend a player's playtime or buy in-game items. Tokens can be bought with either $20 real-world cash or sold for a fluctuating amount of in-game gold. One tracking service lists the price of gold, of the current gold price as of a token as 203,035 pieces. That works out to about 10,152 gold gaming pieces per USD.
You know, they can just arbitrarily set the prices in WoW with this country. I mean, Venezuela has undergone such massive inflation and devaluation of its currency over the last 5 years. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse. I mean, they have huge shortages of everything in this goddamn country.
This has been another one of these stories that I've seen an awful lot of being circulated by right wingers, because of course
socialism fails.
See what happens? Yeah, it's being used as an example. This is why socialism is bad. Because look at Venezuela. Look what happened. Look what happened in Venezuela, man. You don't want that to be us, do you? It's pretty crazy. But I think it's a pretty funny story just on the face of it to think that, you know, they'd be better off. Maybe that could be Venezuela's out. Like, we are switching to World of Warcraft gold as our new currency.
They should become the WoW nation.
They can just switch to Bitcoin, dude. Cryptocurrency.
We are now a Bitcoin nation.
Just rename Venezuela to Azeroth.
There you go.
There you go.
Arthas is elected as fucking president.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Eternal President Prince Arthas.
Since I know our camera is frozen for some fucking ungodly reason, I'll just switch us over to this.
Oh, we should just use this all the time anyway.
Of course you think that.
Pepsi.
Well, yeah, I don't know. If our camera keeps freezing, maybe we will. I don't know.
Sweet.
Maybe you'll get your
wish. I'm going to have Squeaks chew that camera cord a little more tonight.
No, you're not. that cat is not allowed in this fucking office. The cat needs to be
fucking... some new headphones already.
I don't owe you shit.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
Bullshit.
Yes, you do. You owe me, dude.
How do I owe you? It's not even my cat. I didn't even want it.
Too bad,
I just
dude.
Gave in. I you, just fucking gave in to
gave
public
in
pressure.
And you took in responsibility.
And you know what I was
cat.
Told? I was told this cat, you know, cat. The great thing about cats, they leave you alone. They don't fucking need attention. This cat is fucking up your ass 24/7.
Dude, you were sold this cat on a bunch of lies.
I know.
Fabrications.
Dude, that's what always happens, dude.
Led down the primrose path.
I didn't want no damn cat.
Well, dude, I didn't want a puppy, but guess what? I was sold the exact same fucking honey lies. The puppy would pretty much, it'll be
it's
fine.
It's gonna be a perfect.
Oh no!
Well-behaved.
Within a week or two, yeah. Within a week or two, the puppy will be potty trained. The puppy will do this. The puppy will. Dude, it's all the same
dude,
lies.
How many dumps is he taking in the middle of your new fucking
oh,
place?
Oh, dude, plenty.
How many dumps, dude?
Almost every day I have to deal with dog piss, dude. Almost every fucking day. I'll just walk out randomly like, what are you stepping? Oh, dog piss.
Yeah, I just shit in your pad, bro. How you like me now?
Oh, dude, he loves to shit right next to my fucking bed where I sleep, dude.
Oh.
Right fucking next to the goddamn...
Dude, have you gotten the good morning fucking wet, cold shit foot?
No, well, not yet, because his ass sleeps in a fucking crate. He's being crate trained.
Oh, well, there you go.
If he slept, I'm sure I would have by now. Oh, no, I've slept in the shit plenty of times, though.
Motherfucker.
But all sold on this fucking bolt, this bullshit story about the puppy will be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the perfect little
puppy. It's going to be great.
The puppy will listen. The puppy
comes
will obey.
A good line. He's going to be easy to be trained.
Yep.
Smart.
Oh.
No, you got the whole spiel. Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. You're,
we are a bunch of fucking suckers.
We are, dude.
Look at us.
This is why I don't understand. This is why I don't understand why the DFF on women wasn't better received.
Dude, you know what? There needs to be a women part two, man.
Oh yeah, we need to keep.
I'm doing.
I demand fucking
in.
Women part two.
I don't care if it was not a popular episode. We're doing
it's
it.
Happened.
Broads, dames,
skirts,
cunts, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Anyway, we out of news stories. We need some fucking new intros because today's intro fucking sucked. No offense to the guy who made it. I appreciate your effort, but. I mean, that wasn't no good, man.
It sucked.
It wasn't no good.
Thank you, but it sucked.
So, hey, guys, if you want to fucking let us, if you and alert, you know, put the intros on the fucking DFF subreddit or something. You know, put it somewhere where we're going to see it. You know, draw attention
to
it.
We can have a fucking thread on the subreddit.
You can even fucking DM the fucking thing to me. You know,
you can
whatever.
Fucking smoke signal the fucking goddamn intro to TJ.
Yeah,
and
I'll
fucking put it back together.
Because me filming a smoke signal that translates to DFF is good would probably have been a better intro than whatever. I mean, let's just take another look at this fucking piece of shit.
No, dude.
Who gives a fuck? What's who cares? What's interesting about this? Nothing. Nothing. It's garbage. Don't ever fucking send us anything like that again, you cocksuckers. all right. Anything, Scotty or Paul, you got something to say before we wrap this shit up?
Become a patron. Stay tuned for ticketing information. The Mint, July 21st, 2018. DFF is going to fucking blow up LA.
Scotty?
I just want to say TJ owes me new headphones.
I do not.
You do.